I have Chief Justice Berger for you, sir.
Hello?
Hello?
Warren, I think we've given you a couple of good men. Well, I was trying to build the court up a bit, as you noted. In the process, I built you up a little, too. You and Blackman. What you deserve. No, no, no. The Washington Post and all that.
And yet they've been getting some rumors. Now you have spoken, and this settles it. And I think
incidentally, do you know Rehnquist, Warren?
I have met him in between, and then he's argued, I think, two cases up in our court. I've been very well impressed.
He's really first class.
Well,
his mind is steel trap. You know, first in his class of Stanford, which proves nothing. I mean, I was third, so I didn't think that first meant so much. But nevertheless, he was top in his class. But more than that, the guy that, when I've seen him, and I've seen him a number of things here at the White House, when it comes to constitutional questions, he's cool, objective, just the kind of a guy that, you know, young fellow, that you need in that court when a tough things come up. And he's like a rock. He's tough and absolutely unflappable. He isn't gonna be moved on the Georgetown set.
I have been much impressed by him.
Of course, I don't need to tell you about Lou Powell. He's a superb man, and I decided to break the age thing mainly because I thought the court could use just having a man of that eminence on the court. What do you think?
I think so, and I talked to him a little bit ago, and he's worried about the age thing when I talked to him.
Right. Well, you remember, as you know, you called him last night at my suggestion, because I had to really press him. But his eyesight, for Christ's sakes, I mean, he's better at in 5 years than most are 20.
Well, I told him that if he only had 5 years left, it worth it.
Did you?
5 years were so crucial.
Great, great.
But I pointed out to him then, jokingly, that he had 20 years to go back to 85, and that gave Lou 21 years.
But you think very highly of him, don't you?
Well,
a great gentleman.
Ever
well, everybody says that. They're going to rake, the only thing they can ring up on him is what he said about Martin Luther King, but he was right about what he said about Martin Luther King.
Well,
that's too bad, isn't it? Now, for Christ's sakes. He should have represented the school board. That was his job. But the main thing that I think is important, Warren, is that on the court now, I have appointed four people, and you, Blackman, and Powell, and Rehnquist. And I think all four of them are top-flight, decent, honorable, able men. That's very important. That's what the court needs, doesn't it? Or do you agree? By what?
By the whole manner.
The manner, actually.
The manner. You have to watch it. The teacher has to see that as well as the little. But my son has this manner.
How old is he?
33.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
And
it's very important.
Just what the country is like.
Really? That's good. Because of the style rather than the appointment, the tone, I mean.
The tone is what did it, and he said that all of the criticism that's been going on fade away. Of course, the commentators had a hard time trying to follow it. Best thing to do was to say that the court, small thing, unlike Franklin Roosevelt, whose first appointment was a Southerner.
Unlike him?
Unlike him.
Oh, goodness.
Can you imagine the fellow having the nerve?
He not only packed
people, but tried to pack it
with the law.
With the law, with saying it's treason, he said, leave.
But I think putting Powell, I thought it was a good thing to put Powell Warren in the position, and not just being a Virginian, a Southern, but a great American.
Yes.
Didn't you like that?
Very good
analysis. It's true, too.
You mentioned that the criminal justice project that he financed.
Right.
He may be the chairman of it, that's where I first got to know him.
Warren, as you know, there is one thing that there is a problem, and we must not let it come. Powell is worried about his eyesight.
Yes.
I want you to tell him not to say a word about that in the testimony.
Well,
not to say, good God, all of us have problems with our eyes, and who knows, we may cure the damn thing. He's just not to worry.
Incidentally,
he said, you know, Mr. President, when I called him yesterday afternoon, before you called him, and I said, now, I want you to consider this. And he said, well, you know, as conscious as he is, I think you can find a better man, a younger man. He says, my eyesight bothers me. Well, what about you? I said, well, I can only work 50 hours a week. Well, now, for Christ's sakes, who the hell in that court works more than 50 hours a week? You tell me, huh?
Well,
50 hours a week. Well, you know he can do the job 50 hours a week. Don't be sure he doesn't raise that in the hearings.
Yeah,
he shouldn't, because we don't want to appear that I appointed an old, decrepit man. Basically, Lou Powell with half sight can do more than many people can do with full sight. You know it, and I know it.
No question about it. And of course, there's an advantage in it, and it's not just pictures and whatnot. It's very useful looking stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
So
another thing, too, is this. You'll have a clerk, or I don't know, maybe you have one or two, more than one. Not two. One law clerk, or two do you have now?
Now we've got three. I've got
three.
Third.
All right.
For him when I
Lou Powell has three clerks. He doesn't have to read all the fine print anymore, does he?
No,
what you want him on that is in those conferences. You sit around that table, he's invaluable, isn't he?
I mentioned that to him last night. He said I'd like to spend a couple of days with him since he has a couple of hours with him when he has time to make a decision how he should.
Absolutely.
Lou is such a conscientious fellow.
I know.
He has to bring that up.
Let me give you one little anecdote you can give him. Cleveland. Cleveland was, I think, one of the better presidents because of his conscientious ability. But Cleveland, in his two terms, which, as you know, were separated by the veto. Grover Cleveland vetoed more bills than any president has done in two terms. Roosevelt, of course, vetoed more than anybody else because he was in four terms. But anyway, Cleveland had this problem. He insisted on reading every bill himself. He would rather do something. It was said about Cleveland that he would rather do something himself poorly than to have somebody else do it well. Now, Lewis Powell has got to recognize, he put him on this court not for his ability to read the fine print and do all the crap, but God damn it, we want him there. That's right. And you and Blackman and a couple others sit around with Lou Powell and discuss these things. That's it. You know, take me. You know, I don't read all the fine print one. I really don't. I'm the reason that I've been able to bring off the China and the Soviet initiative is that I've delegated the business about what happens to Bolivian fishing rights to other people.
Yeah.
See?
Well, I've
talk real cold turkey to him. I'm telling him that I said this, will you?
I certainly will, and I think he'll be amenable to it.
He went on and on to me with it, and I said, now, consulting his doctrine, I said, look, I just know you can do the job. You don't need to worry about that. But you tell him that I feel that he should Look, blind men have served in the Corps. There's a fellow by the name of Lloyd Nix. You've heard of him in California.
No.
But there was Lloyd Nix who gave me, he was blind. And I took my CRAM course to pass the California bar from him. Well, now, for Christ's sake, he didn't read a thing. So Lou Powell can do the job, and he must do it, and he's got to stay in that court 10 years. That's right. Okay.
Well, I'll certainly tell him. Well, it's nice of you to call. I didn't want to wear you out. That's why I left the message to Rose.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right.